Just want to do a little expectation setting before I read the New Testament scripture, because if you came for the first Sunday of Advent, you might be expecting a scripture passage about the little Lord Jesus lying in the manger. But if you just heard the Old Testament passage, and if you looked ahead to the New Testament passage, you'll see we're not getting anywhere near the manger. In fact, this passage comes from the last part of the book of Luke, where we're already past Palm Sunday, and it's almost Maundy Thursday in Holy Week. So if you are like someone in the Wednesday Women's Bible Study, you might be asking yourself, well, then why in the world would we be reading this now in Advent? I told her that was an excellent question. It's a great question because usually we think about Advent as preparing for Jesus to come as a baby in a manger. And it is, but if we think more broadly, Advent is about waiting for God to break into the world and make the world right. And of course, God did that in Jesus Christ in the manger in an unparalleled and an unrepeated way. And it is marvelous and it's amazing that God broke into the world in that way. But it's not the only way that God has ever broken into the world, and it's not the only way that God will break into the world. And God will break into the world when Jesus comes back at his second coming, and that's what is traditionally celebrated on the first Sunday of Advent, is Jesus' return at the end of history. And that's where Luke has us today. I'm going to read sections from Luke chapter 21. Let's listen now to God's word for us. One day, people were standing around talking about the temple, remarking how beautiful it was, the splendor of its stonework and memorial gifts. Jesus said, "All this you're admiring so much, well, the time is coming when every stone in that building will end up in a heap of rubble." They asked him, "Teacher, when is this going to happen? What clue will we get that it's about to take place?" Jesus says, "It will seem like all hell has broken loose. Sun, moon, stars, earth, sea, all in an uproar. And everyone all over the world in a panic. The wind knocked out of them by the threat of doom. The powers that be quaking. And then they'll see the Son of Man welcomed in a grand style. A glorious welcome. When all this starts to happen, up on your feet, stand tall with your heads high. Help is on the way." But be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. Otherwise, that day is going to take you by complete surprise, spring on you like a trap. For it's going to come on everyone, everywhere, at once. So whatever you do, don't go to sleep at the switch. Pray constantly that you will have the strength and wits to make it through everything that's coming and end up on your feet before the Son of Man. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, how many shopping days until Christmas? 22, right? Anybody all done already? I don't see a single hand. You know, some of you maybe attack Christmas with a passion the way that my mom did. She would work on all the menus and get invited to all the parties and make sure that all the gifts were prepared for all four of us kids. And she would make sure that all four kids got not just the exact same number of gifts, but also that the total spending on each one of those gifts would be within $1.99 of each other. Some of you parents know what I'm talking about, right? So my mom attacked Christmas with a passion, and then there was my friend Pat from high school who was not quite as eager. One year he did all of his Christmas shopping on Christmas Eve, not Christmas Eve day, but Christmas Eve, by following the blue light around Kmart and buying whatever was on sale as he went from place to place to place, from department to department. So whether you attack Christmas with a passion or whether you leave it all to the last minute, getting ready for Christmas is critical. Getting prepared is critical. That's why we chose as our theme for Advent this year, God's invitation to prepare. Now, according to, as I was saying, in Advent, usually we think about the baby Jesus in a manger, but today we're thinking about the second coming. And according to Jesus, the second coming is going to be cataclysmic and cosmic in scope. He says it will seem like all hell has broken loose. Sun, moon, stars, earth, sea in an uproar, and everyone all over the world in a panic. And we have to be ready for it. He says, be on your guard, otherwise that day is going to come, take you by complete surprise, spring on you suddenly like a trap. So whatever you do, don't go to sleep on your watch. It's a trap, Jesus says. The second coming is like a trap. It's a trap. I think one way that it's a trap is when we start thinking that we are all prepared. We are all ready for Christmas, all ready for Jesus coming, when maybe we're not as ready as we think we are. There's a temptation to get a little overconfident about our faithfulness, a little overconfident about our status. I got a glimpse into what it looked like to be a little overconfident in your status when I was working before going to seminary in Madrid for a consulting firm called Bain & Company. We were just starting up the office, and so all of the managers and vice presidents actually had their own offices, but the rest of us worked in a big open space. You know, the kind of big open space that studies now show is the least productive way to get work done. Well, one of the managers left, and my colleague, Alfonso, decided he knew, he was 100% sure that he was the one that was going to get promoted into that office. And he was so 100% sure that he was going to be promoted into that office that he moved his stuff into that office. And he was 100% certain that it was going to be him until the Christmas party, when the VPs announced that someone else had been promoted. And then he was 100% sure that he needed to take his stuff out of that office and put it back into the dreaded open space. And as he did, I'm quite sure that he was knocked off balance, wondering how it was that he was so overconfident in his readiness for a promotion. And that's just a promotion at work, but the thing is, we can get overconfident in our readiness for Jesus to come back. I know I can. I want to think that I'm totally prepared. I want to be confident in my faithfulness. I want to say, I'm in like Flynn. I am ready. I'm going to be standing up on that day, ready for Jesus to come back. But then, this passage knocks me off balance. It makes me think, maybe I'm asleep at the switch, too. You know, there are plenty of scriptures that invite us to have confidence in our faith in Christ. But in this passage, Jesus is asking us to make sure we are not overconfident. Because when we're overconfident, we're going to get trapped. So we can get trapped by our overconfidence, but the other thing we can get trapped by is the trappings of Christmas. We can get distracted from what's really important. Here's the way that Jesus puts it in our passage. He says, don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. All the menus and gifts and travels and events, they can knock us off course. They can make us go off balance too. They can make us forget about what's really important. Now, the thing is, it's not that Jesus is saying, let's read it closely. Jesus is not saying there should be no shopping, there should be no drinking, there should be no parties. What he's saying is that as you go to drinking, as you go to shopping, as you go to parties, make sure that the edge of your expectation that Jesus is coming back doesn't get dulled. Otherwise, we'll be trapped. In the Advent devotional you can pick up on your way out of church, there's an entry this week by Martha Zeman. She's the head of the deacons, and she writes about how we can get trapped by the trappings, although she doesn't use those words exactly. I do want to tell you, I want to make sure you realize that I had written this whole sermon, and then I read her piece, and so I did not copy my whole sermon from Martha Zeman. I only copied this part of my sermon from Martha Zeman. And here's what Martha says. She says, "This month we will prepare for the birth of our Savior. Many of us will be shopping for the perfect gift and decorating our homes for Thanksgiving, for gatherings. It's easy to get caught up in the season with activities and forget what this season is really about. While Christmas is still a few weeks away, let us remember that Jesus can reign in our lives, in our minds, and in our hearts right now. We don't have to wait for Christmas. Already we can shout from our own mountaintops by living the example of Jesus every day of this season and beyond. We can openly share our faith and our joy by simply living every day with kindness, integrity, mercy, and grace." There's a lot more where this comes from. I do hope you'll pick up the devotional on your way out. You can also get it by email every day, or you can check our church's Facebook site for that. Commercial over about the Advent devotional, but I do want to say that there were, as Martha says in this, in her reflection, she talks about, we can shout from our own mountaintops by living the example of Jesus every day. And that's what I saw three families from the church where I served in Atlanta do every Christmas. Every Christmas morning, before they did anything else, before they opened their presents, before they fix any dinner for themselves, they came to the church, and they would fix sausage biscuits in the church and in the church's kitchen, and they would pour dozens of cups of hot chocolate, and then they would bundle themselves up really big because they had the mistaken understanding that it was really cold in Atlanta on Christmas. So they would bundle themselves up, and then they would walk around downtown, and they would look for anybody without a home that day, and they would give them the sausage biscuits and hot chocolate. They did not let their sharp expectation of Christ's coming be dulled by the parties and the drinking and the shopping. They let the shopping and the drinking and the parties be shaped by their expectation of Christ's coming and by his invitation to prepare to join his mission to the world. And so, yeah, they shopped. But they shopped for sausage and biscuits and breakfast treats. And they drank. They drank hot chocolate and they shared it with everyone they found in the streets that morning. And I have a feeling when they all came together, when they all came together that morning in the kitchen to prepare, and when they all came together with the people out in the street, it felt a lot like a party, like a Christmas party. Like an amazing Christmas party. You know, the kind you throw, the best kind of Christmas party that you throw when you know that Jesus is coming back and you want to be sure you're ready. Now let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for your return and we thank you for reminding us to be ready. Invite us, strengthen us, equip us to change our lives, that we would stand tall when you come. We pray in your name, Christ Jesus. Amen.